We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to week 17 of Solo Ship. I'm Squirrel Patrol, joined by JM DeLynn from One Week Season. JM, I'm not in my regular location. I'm actually in Naples, Florida this week.
So you're AI generated or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I got the virtual background. So whenever I move around, things are kind of blurry. You can kind of see the closet behind me here in the hotel. We had no show last week. You were on the injured list.
I was on the injured list.
And then week before, we actually recorded early because I was going to Miami. I was in Florida again for the FanDuel Live Final. So it feels like forever since we've done a show. How have you been?
Yeah, nothing's normal, huh? Because now you're traveling again. We were actually supposed to do the show yesterday, which I'd totally forgotten about. My work schedule didn't allow for it. So now we got travel, which was good because I think an extra day on this week is valuable. But yeah, I'm doing good. Feeling better. It's weird. Not that anybody cares, but laryngitis, like you don't feel it you don't feel fatigued or anything. Your throat hurts a ton. Generally, like once you get past it, the core of it, like the start of the day and the end of the day, your throat hurts. So like every morning I wake up in tremendous pain in my throat, end of the day, tremendous pain, but middle of the day feels okay. I can mostly talk. So yeah, man, we're ready to roll and look at this interesting week 17 slate.
Yeah. So it's week 17, not quite week 18. Week 17 used to be the week where things went berserk. Matt Flynn's the name that I remember, right? Like Green Bay Packers quarterback that made millions of dollars. But you always have these like weird week 18 games. And we'll get to that next week where, teams are starting their guys for just a half, sometimes just a quarter, sometimes just a few series, sometimes the whole game. And you'll have like one or two games that are really competitive. We're starting to get into that a little bit with week 17. The thing that jumps out to me is we've got 13 games, and it almost feels like 100 after like a bunch of 10 game slates, and then I think finally a 9 game slate. Now we're to like 13 games. It feels like there's offense and cheap quarterbacks everywhere, and part of the cheap quarterbacks is starting to get into that end of season team switching things up. They want to see what they have in different guys. But we've had a bunch of turnover at the quarterback position, especially last few weeks, and even more this week. Especially on DraftKings, you just got a ton of cheap quarterbacks. And with 13 games, and it was just, we lost the Browns, unfortunately, to the game last night. But other than that, all the premier offenses feels like are on this slate. What are your thoughts, initial thoughts on the week?
Yeah, it's funny. I was just thinking about this as you were talking. usually you see like the young quarterbacks coming in, right? Or Jarrett Stidham coming in because they don't want Russell Wilson to get injured and they have to pay him extra money. So kind of funny that the Commanders have Jacoby Brissett starting, assuming health. The Giants have Tyrod Taylor starting. Like, we're done seeing what we have with our young guys. It's an interesting week. You mentioned 13 games, obviously last week, 9 games, and it felt like an even smaller slate than that. So I was realizing when I was putting together my player pool this morning, there's like 6 games that I'm not focused on at all. And it's not that you can't pull pieces from them, but it's one of them is Raiders and Colts. So I like the running backs in that game, but all of my wide receivers are from these other 7 games. And in all 7 of those games, I kind of like the quarterbacks as well, you know, maybe not as core pieces, but so basically all that to say, like, I don't really have any one-off wide receiver pieces from these other 6 games. And you know, Patriots and Bills, like, you can make a case for some of the wide receivers in that game, or Panthers and Jags, you can make case for Panthers wide receivers, Steelers, Seahawks, you can make case for those. But it's kind of like I've got these 6 games where they're almost just off the table for me. And it's not as much, it wasn't intentional. Like, oh, it's a 13 game slate. So now it's just sort of the way that the week sets up, where there's quarterbacks to like in these other games. I like the wide receivers attached to those quarterbacks. I like the upside. And so, I'll be building kind of heavily around this, like, sort of half of the slate, really, is how I look at it.
Yeah. So 13 games, I guess there is an argument for stacking more, that like some game is probably going to go off, and that's probably going to be the game that you need to have. I feel like it's with 2 game slates and like 3 game slates, we've had a handful of lately. I like the game stack a lot, because chances are, like, if just one of the games outscores the others, and that's more likely to happen, obviously, when you have like just 2 or 3 games. I feel like medium-sized slates, I don't like to stack as much, because it's just a greater chance you have like a couple of games that both have high totals, you know, or high scores, but neither of those games actually separates themselves. I feel like 13 games, and this is more anecdotal than like data-driven, but it feels like you have a better chance of one of these games really just outpacing the others. And so I think I'll probably have more interest in stacking. I have some interest in these cheap quarterbacks. It's a good point that you made that, yeah, like, teams have decided, we've seen our young guys already. Now we're done with that, and we're going to, you know, go back to the veterans. I think this might be a DraftKings specific thing, but I have some interest in the cheap quarterbacks. Do you see like any differentiation or any interest in like Tyrod Taylor, Jacoby Brissett, Jarrett Stidham? Even I guess Zappi is kind of on there. I counted 10 quarterbacks at 5,300 or cheaper on DraftKings.
Yeah, Tyrod's the only one on my list, and it's a function of like, how do these guys play quarterbacks? What's the range of outcomes? So Tyrod, he's going to get, you know, 1 to 3 points with his legs, and he's not a risk-taking quarterback. He's basically going to take the underneath throws. And so you kind of know, like, the last time that he played was the only time all year that I was heavy on Darren Waller, and Waller put up 22 points in that game and like missed a catch in the end zone. I think he got hit like right when he caught it and barely didn't come down with it. So that would have been like this touchdown that he didn't get that would have put him up like around 29 points. So like, his range of outcomes goes up dramatically. And it's not just him being healthy and how he's using this offense, but it's also like what Tyrod Taylor is going to look to do. Tyrod Taylor is not looking for the downfield throw. So, you know, you're probably not getting a 25 to 30 pointer from Tyrod Taylor, but you're also probably not getting a 8 pointer from Tyrod Taylor. So you kind of feel pretty comfortable that you're getting in this, if you think about like a $4,600 player, and you're getting in this 14 to 22 point range, and you've got this nice stacking partner with him. So Tyrod's really the one who stands out to me, and it's less about him, and it's more about, I think there's a lot of fun that we can have on this slate with salary allocation, because I think that the field is going to get so fixated on CMC and Kyren Williams, who, you know, Kyren Williams, 3 of his last 5 games have been 20 points and below. CMC, 4 of his last 7 games have been 22 points and below. Like, they're capable of scoring 30 plus. They're also capable of both scoring 20. And so it's like, well, what if you don't play those guys? And then you allocate that salary to 2 or 3 of these higher priced wide receivers. And then, you know, the quarterback situation gives you some flexibility there. So that's kind of what I like about the quarterback situation, is more like, what if Hurts only scores 27? What if Lamar only scores 22? What if Tua scores in the low 20s? Like, all these high priced guys kind of score down there, and then Tyrod gets you 20. And then, you know, you also get these high-priced wide receivers that other people won't have. So, yeah, I see this very much like a salary allocation week is what's really intriguing to me, because I think a lot of these high-priced wide receivers are going to go overlooked this week.
Yeah, I agree. I'm kind of seeing the week the same way that I think people are going to go to the high-priced running backs. And it's interesting. It's like we've come full circle over the years. It's almost like we're back to running backs, like spend up at running back. I think Christian McCaffrey and Kyren Williams are going to get a lot of attention this week. It's interesting. Kyren did not have very high ownership projections, and I'm not sure what was driving that. There's a question on the Roto-Grinders expert survey that's like, you know, what player with less than 10% ownership are you heavily interested in this week? I'm like, Kyren Williams, but I think he's going to come in way over 10%. But that's interesting. Actually, I had to look up his game log when you mentioned he's gone under 20 two out of the last 3 weeks. That's actually true. I think three out of the last four, he's been right around 20 points. But I still think like that offense is in a good spot. And so I think people will go there. People are definitely going to go to Christian McCaffrey. You know, San Francisco's got, I think, the highest implied point total on the week and one of the higher implied point totals I think we've seen this season. It's almost at 32. So, yeah, and I think that some of the wide receivers are going to go overlooked. Actually, I think some of the running backs right under those two are going to go overlooked. Like, I think Travis Etienne is in potentially a good spot, but we'll see what happens with Trevor Lawrence. I think he's still questionable. I actually think the running back position might also be defined in part and maybe the whole week by the Kansas City running back situation.
Right.
Because I think if we get Clyde Edwards-Helaire without Isaiah Pacheco, that gives us a lot of savings on an offense that might be running the ball a lot. I mean, you know, the primary running back in Kansas City, like if you're getting him pretty cheap and the backups are all gone, it would be Clyde Edwards-Helaire in that case. But I think people will go there with like very high ownership. But then if it's Pacheco is back, you know, he's more expensive and then there's a potential timeshare. So yeah, I guess any thoughts on the Kansas City running back situation or the running backs in general?
Yeah. I mean, I guess people have been paying the price tag on Pacheco and he hasn't really paid off for them. Like theoretically Pacheco could post a big game if he's back, but it's hard for me to see like, cause ownership is going to be low on him if he gets cleared on Saturday and he's back, but it's hard for me to see like the real edge that he provides. I do think if Clyde Edwards-Helaire is out there, same thing with Zamir White, like both these guys could easily score under 10 points, but both these guys could also easily score 22 to 25. And so that's sort of like, given the range that they can score in and the price tags they have, I don't mind eating the chalk there, especially because I think that I don't think a lot of people will play both of them together. And then there's a lot that you can do from a salary allocation standpoint in terms of how you attack wide receiver that could be really interesting this week. So yeah, I like those cheaper running back options because, again, if we want to rewind even farther, if we want to go back to like 2014, 2015, where we understood like, man, any running back that's getting 20 touches and is cheap, just toss them in there because it's PPR scoring. And so then you can fit in as many of these high-priced wide receivers as possible. We've gone through this wave this year where there was a wave where like a bunch of 5K, 6K wide receivers were scoring 30-plus points. And so even though the high-priced running backs were overpriced, it still was kind of optimal to pay up for them because, you know, salary then led you to these 5K, 6K guys. But those guys are now priced up, right? They're no longer 5K, 6K. And then there's also this wave over the last few weeks of like, the high-priced wide receivers were all – it was like Devontae Adams with Aiden O'Connell or, you know, like these guys, Stephon Diggs, you know, in a bad matchup and not getting the same usage. Like, but now all of a sudden we've got Kupp, we've got Nacua, we've got Debo, we've got Ayuk, we've got A.J. Brown playing against the Cardinals – or playing against the – yeah, playing against the Cardinals. Like, this sets up as one of those weeks where, like, we've got Nico Collins back playing against the Titans and nobody on him. Sets up as one of those weeks where, like, several of these 7K-plus wide receivers – could put up 30, 35, 38 points. And so like that just roster construction approach of, hey, pay down at running back, save your salary for these guys, I think is very interesting this week just because that is the best way to go on paper and not a lot of people will go that way.
Yeah, so you mentioned salary allocation a couple of times. And actually I'm interested, I think, in maybe not, you know, in using some of the cheaper quarterbacks, but not necessarily like going with a game stack from that quarterback, but instead like take a quarterback as, you know, one of his cheaper wide receivers and then game stack a game that has really expensive pieces, but not necessarily using the quarterback from that game.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
So like, I like the idea maybe like, I don't think like Tua is like kind of a quarterback. It's kind of become apparent. He's not really worth it. Like he's not putting up like scores that you need at his salary. But, you know, Tyreek Hill obviously is. So, you know, like, and Tyreek is really expensive. So if you can take one of the cheaper quarterbacks, just say like Jacoby Brissett and Terry McLaurin or Curtis Samuel or something, And then you're pairing that with like Tyreek Hill and Zay Flowers. Then you've suddenly got like a game stack of the Miami-Baltimore game, and you're hoping that game goes off, and you're just hoping that like Curtis Samuels gets like a touchdown, right? And that pays off his price. Maybe he gets a handful of receptions. But I think that's something I'm interested in doing is creatively allocating salary like we haven't in years past. Like in years past, it was more just like stack a game. Like you want to double stack your quarterback, you know, two wide receivers from his team, and then a run back, you know, or, you know, a wide receiver, tight end from the opposing team. And now it's more like, I just want to get the cheap quarterback and then maybe pair him with some of the really expensive wide receivers and running backs. And that's kind of the game stack that I'm interested in. I don't know if that works as well on FanDuel. I think on FanDuel, I'm more likely to like use Lamar Jackson because you just aren't really under as strict of a salary constraints, I think, on FanDuel. But yeah, I think on DraftKings, I think salary allocation is going to be, you know, can you use it in some creative ways this week?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just looking through these wide receivers, right? Like Tyreek Hill can put up 40, AJ Brown can put up 40, Kupp can put up 40, Nacua can put up 40. Mike Evans, even in a bad matchup, can put up 40. Debo can put up 40. Devontae Smith can put up 40. Nico can put up 40, or all these guys, you can say 35 plus, right? And Ayuk can put up 40. And then you get below 7K, you get Olave. But then it's like DJ Moore is in a horrible matchup. He's got the ankle issue. T. Higgins is playing Kansas City. You know, DeAndre Hopkins, kind of that outside shot. Adam Thielen doesn't have the same role he had earlier in the year. Like, you're basically down to all guys who their good games are going to be like 20 points, right? But you get up above that 7K and above price range at wide receiver, and there's just like all these guys who can hit. So, yeah, I just think it's a really interesting week where if three of these high-priced wide receivers hit, that's going to end up being the way to go. And I just don't think that's the way that most people are looking to build this week. Cause again, people think more about like, okay, what's the floor on these pieces? And they think less about what could be the had to have it pieces on the week. What could be the pieces you had to have in order to win a tournament? I mean, like Debo's got 37 plus in two of his last five games. And in both of those games, Christian McCaffrey scored in the low 20s or high teens, right? So it's like the leverage is there. Like you're hurting the McCaffrey rosters. You're getting those Debo points. So, yeah, I just think that there's just a lot of interesting things we can do this week. Before we kind of move off of quarterbacks, one guy we haven't talked about that's not in the 5,300 and below range, but right above that, Derek Carr, I think really interesting this week. You know, he's been playing much better lately. You know, 300 yard game a couple weeks ago, three touchdowns last week. I think two touchdowns the week before that. And then, you know, no Taysom Hill. So you got, and then Rashid Shaheed's playing like over 80% of the snaps now. So like, Carr plus Shaheed is a really interesting cheap way to go, you know, as opposed to like the Tyrod Taylor and Waller or Brissett and whoever else, you know, and that's in like a really good matchup against Tampa Bay that game could become interesting. So, yeah, that's one that I wanted to mention that has been standing out to me as well as a way to save salary and do things differently.
Interesting. Yeah, I kind of gotten away. I think in the entire field has kind of gotten away from playing Derek Carr because there was this threat of like Taysom Hill. And that doesn't seem as prevalent anymore. Like they're really not using him as a passer as much. And I think Alvin Kamara, I read right before we came on the show, he's, I think, listed as questionable. I think it's an illness, so seems likely he'll play. Maybe it was just that he missed practice with an illness. So he'll probably play, but I think it, like, especially if Kamara is out or limited, that would definitely increase like the Derek Carr interest. I think Chris Olave is going to get a lot of interest because they're playing Tampa Bay. And so that's a really good matchup. But I think people are just going to use Olave as a one-off. And actually, like, playing Derek Carr and pairing him with Rashid Shaheed, you know, is definitely a different way of looking at that game through the same lens, right? Through the same lens of, I think, the, you know, New Orleans passing game can do well against Tampa Bay, but instead of just playing Chris Olave as a one-off, like going with Derek Carr and Rashid Shaheed is pretty interesting. I actually have a quarterback, and actually it's more a wide receiver. You already mentioned him, but I'm interested in the Houston passing game as well. I think a lot of people aren't going to go there because there is, you know, it's kind of evolving into like a basketball news-driven type slate where, you know, we're seeing which backup quarterbacks are starting at really low price and what's the injury news going to, you know, how's that going to affect things? Like, Houston just has a good matchup against Tennessee. I mean, that's a defense that, you know, people have been passing on all year. I was looking earlier, somebody was asking me like best, like big play wide receivers or something. I think both Nico Collins and Noah Brown, I think, are in the top eight or so for yards per reception. And that's one of the things that I think is an underlooked at statistic, just because, like, that is exactly what we want from a game environment. Is we want a guy catching the ball running all the way down the field, scoring a touchdown, turning the ball back over to the other team. So I'll definitely, I think DeAndre Hopkins is going to be somewhat popular this week, but I love the idea of, like, you know, pairing him. If you get like CJ Stroud, you know, like Nico Collins and DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, that is actually a game stack that I have some interest in. It's kind of in the middle of the pricing range. It feels to me like there's offense everywhere. People are not talking about like the Saints, you know, as much like Derek Carr and the Houston passing game.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the middle of writing up my player grid today, which is my player pool. So I haven't run these, like, updated these numbers yet, but earlier in the year, there's a stretch Atlanta, New Orleans, Carolina, where Stroud just played poorly, right? And earlier in the year, if we took out that stretch, it was like every single game, it was like eight games that the Texans had produced that Stroud had played, take out that little stretch in there where he wasn't playing as well. And it was like seven or eight games where the Texans had produced a wide receiver score of like 26 plus DraftKings points in every single one of those games, right? And so it's like almost been a guarantee that you're getting 26 plus DraftKings points from one of these wide receivers on this offense when Stroud is under center. And then they've got this great matchup against Tennessee, and you don't have Tank Dell out there, so you know that Nico Collins is the alpha. And then obviously, like, you could have 70% Nico, not 70% of your rosters, but like if you're going to say, hey, half my rosters will have a Texans wide receiver, right? 70% of that exposure could be Nico, and then 30% could be Noah Brown, to where you're saying, okay, like if Nico misses, I've got my hedge bet. But it's highly likely that one of these guys produces a big game. That's like anytime we can find those things, you know, turn the math in our favor. That's what I'm looking to do is, okay, it's highly likely that one of these 49ers pieces, including CMC, right? But one of these 49ers pieces scores 27 plus. It's highly likely that one of these Rams pieces scores 27 plus. Highly likely that one of these Texans wide receivers scores 27 plus. So like if I can mix and match these pieces, like that gives me a chance to get that right combo. And I'm so far ahead of the field if I get that right combo. So for single entry, obviously you're kind of saying, okay, let me pick who's my favorite or how do I want to play this or how does the salary fit? But broadly speaking, like I just think mixing and matching some of these spots really puts you well ahead of the field. It gives you that chance for that one roster where everything comes together on it.
Is there one game environment that like jumps off the page to you this week? Just like, I guess, you know, for a single entry, originally a single entry show. You know, if you're doing one entry or maybe, you know, maybe just a very limited number of entries into a single entry contest, is there one game environment that jumps off the page to you where you think you'll have, you know, a couple wide receivers from that game? Or running back, sorry.
No. Like the thing is, the Rams offense, the Eagles offense, the 49ers offense are the ones that feel like the highest floor, highest ceiling plays, but the game environment has like nothing going for it, right? And those players are so expensive that those are kind of onesies to me. Obviously, you can play them with the quarterbacks, but and then in terms of like full on game environments, I think this Titans Texans game and the Saints Bucks game are really the ones that game environment wise stand out to me. What about you? Do you have anything that's like, from that standpoint, that stands out to you?
I do. I have one that I haven't like priced it out yet. So I haven't like made a roster like this, but I'm really interested in the Baltimore Miami game.
Right.
And I think it's two good teams and they have two good defenses. Well, like Baltimore is at least, you know, pretty good defense. I mean, Miami's not bad, but it seems like one of those games where things could get elevated. You know, cause you have such big playmakers. Like these teams put up 80 points last season in a game that similarly was not expected to shoot out. I think it had about the same total as this game.
I think it was like 44 last year. Like it was low. It might have even been like 42 or 43. Like no one was on that game last year.
Yeah, and they put up 80 points. And the reason they put up 80 points is like, you know, Tyreek Hill's just running down the field with the ball. Like Lamar Jackson's just running down the field with the ball. We've seen that from like Baltimore this year. From both Baltimore and Miami this year. I, you know, like the idea of Zay Flowers is playing, like he's not too expensive to fit into a stack. This probably works better with Lamar Jackson on FanDuel than it does on DraftKings. You probably do have to go to one of the cheaper quarterbacks if you're going to get like Tyreek Hill and Zay Flowers. But I think that's a game environment that it could be elevated over the total. And we'd just be shaking our heads afterwards saying, well, how could we have not seen it? And I don't always like look back at like, oh, last year these teams did this or that or last matchup. Like last year, these teams put up a good number, you know, put up 80 points for a reason. And all of those guys are still expected to be in this game. So I think that's the one that jumps off the page to me.
Yeah. If you put yourself at Sunday night and like things not working out, a lot of these other ones you could see like building around it. It doesn't work out. And on Sunday night, you're like, why did I do that? Like, if you built Lamar, Tyreek, Zay Flowers, and it didn't work out, like Sunday night, you wouldn't be like, what was I thinking? Yeah, you'd be like, well, we play the slate out 100 times. This is going to hit for some big scores sometimes. Yeah, right after you asked that question, I kind of laid out what I said. And then I was like, well, obviously Dolphins, Ravens too was my next thought. Yeah, and, you know, Kyle Hamilton, I was saying this on my show with Pete Overzet earlier today, but I think it's critical to understand these defenses, right? Where what I was saying earlier was the Ravens aren't a superstar defense. Like Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith in the middle are superstars, but that's the middle of the field. That's the linebackers. That's not like difference making on a macro scale. This isn't a superstar defense, and they're really a lot like the Vikings in that they're just so hard to play against because they throw so much at a quarterback that messes with the quarterback. And then their one superstar player is Kyle Hamilton. And so if you take Kyle Hamilton off, like they're still a better, right? We came into the season being like, man, the Vikings defense is going to be awful. Everybody's going to pick on them. And then Brian Flores is just able to put things together in such a way that they're almost always difficult. But last week, we didn't get to do the show together last week. But last week, one of the things I talked about was like Ben Johnson and the Lions are the perfect type of team that can exploit. They're more talented than the Vikings. They can't exploit everything that the Vikings are trying to do. So if Kyle Hamilton misses, again, the Ravens are more talented than the Vikings, but they are kind of like a Vikings defense on steroids, right? Like they're not a superstar defense. They just throw a lot at the quarterback. So I could see if Kyle Hamilton tins out, which it's trending that direction, that Mike McDaniel could kind of figure out like, okay, here's what we need to do to exploit everything that the Ravens are throwing at us. So I think the Kyle Hamilton, from like a football knowledge standpoint, like I look at this and I say, oh, this is the type of spot where if Kyle Hamilton is missing in action, it actually dramatically changes and does give this extra little pathway to the Dolphins figuring out, okay, we do this over here, pulls the defense this direction, it gets Tyreek Hill open. Like even without Jalen Waddle, they kind of piece this together and it could be a high scoring game. So Ravens are a better team, but then that means they're kind of going step for step, punch for punch. Since Mark Andrews has been out, Zay Flowers is like 20 plus points, I think, in three of his last four games, 20 plus DraftKings points. So targets have been up for him. So yeah, no, I like that shout a lot right there.
All right. Hot takes. Do you have something ready?
Yeah. Why don't you go first? I'll figure out what I want to grab from all the things that are hot takes for me this week.
So yeah, so mine is actually just one last team that I kind of wanted to hit on. But my hot take this week, I think Travis Kelce scores multiple touchdowns for the first time this year, going against Cincinnati Bengals defense. I think it's a little bit of an overlooked spot. I think at the beginning of the year, you know, we'd been like Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and kind of, you know, at least really want to win this game for playoff seeding. It's at home. It's against one of the worst defenses in the league against both the, you know, run and the pass. I think, and, you know, the running backs are a little bit dinged up. I think we would have been like, oh yeah, like Patrick Mahomes is going to see incredible ownership. Like Travis, everyone's going to be all with Travis Kelce. Like Mahomes and Kelce have not had bad seasons. They just haven't had like the top shelf seasons where we're used to them having. That's in the field starting to play them like less and less and less, and the price is starting to like creep down a little bit. And I think it's that in that window where like they're not going to be played as much as they have a chance of really breaking the slate. So I think that's another single entry, you know, spot. You know, if you don't like Baltimore or Miami, that you know, I think like pairing like Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, I think you actually have the money, especially if you get some of the value pieces. Like I think you can do that this week, and it's not going to be owned as highly as it should be.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give my hot take and then I'll give my thoughts on that. I'll do my hot take. It'll be Nico Collins will be the highest scoring wide receiver this week. Broad range of outcomes. It's a hot take. I don't know that I necessarily believe that, but I certainly think that's in the realm of reasonable possibilities, and nobody's going to be attacking him with that mindset. So a lot of edge available there. Yeah. So it's funny. The Patrick Mahomes thing, well, yesterday I was like, oh man, this is sneaky. Like nobody's going to be on Mahomes and all the things that you just said, right? Like he has one tournament worthy game all year. And it was like, man, this could be the second one. Like this could be that game where Mahomes comes out and puts up 35. Like the Bengals have given them a hard time in the past. Jamar Chase has been talking trash this week about the Kansas City defense. It's like, what if Mahomes and Kelce come out and have a signature game? And then I flipped over the cards this morning, looked at ownership for the first time. And it was like Mahomes projecting for pretty decent ownership. Rashee Rice projecting for high ownership at this ridiculously high price tag, Kelce projecting for high ownership. And it was kind of like, oh man, like what a bummer. But that same thing happened to me earlier this year with Lamar Jackson. It was what game was that? It was the game against Detroit where he put up 37.9 DraftKings points. And Thursday night, I was like, man, I hadn't thought about Lamar Jackson. He's super sneaky. And then when I looked at ownership on Friday morning, I was like, well, he shouldn't be high owned, right? So I ended up not playing him at all and like moved from this realization of like, oh, he's actually a sneaky play to being like, oh, it's dumb that he's high owned, so I'm not playing him at all, right? I don't think Mahomes should be high owned. And also this is Friday algorithm driven ownership projections, you know, over under. So I think his ownership could come down, but I don't want to make that same mistake. Like, I don't think he should be high owned. I think he should be a sneaky play, but he is also like a really interesting play this week. And so, he's one of the more intriguing options to me on this slate where he could be that guy who puts up 35 points and kind of puts the slate out of reach.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think people are going to be off of him. I don't know. Like, I haven't really looked at ownership projections that much. I thought you were going to say like everybody's talking about him because I haven't like read that much content this week. It just struck me as I think he's been getting less and less popular. And the offense hasn't performed like we want. And I think that is going to maybe drive ownership, maybe even more than the algorithm, just the public perception. But it'll be interesting to see. Any final thoughts on the week to wrap things up?
Just a really interesting week. No final thoughts. I'm excited for this one. Excited for what live whatever are you at right now? What's this trip?
Oh, it's just a family vacation.
Oh, nice.
the FanDuel final. It was 2 weeks ago.
Okay,
it went pretty well. I had four entries between I think 18 and 40, which is like the worst way of doing well. But
yeah. You'll take it though. We'll take it. Yeah. No final thoughts. Excited about this week. Looking forward to totally different next week is like a totally different sport practically. So looking forward to that one as well.
Yeah. That'll do it for Soloship week 17. We'll see you guys next week.